After the tragic events of 9/11, the U.S. government made it a big priority to gather intelligence about possible terrorist activities. But it wasn't just enemies of the country that fell under this mass surveillance. It was a large swath of the American population. Everything from email correspondence to social media posts to even phone activity was no longer private. This deep surveillance operated largely under the radar until Edward Snowden, a subcontractor with the CIA, leaked intelligence about these activities to the American public.
Everything that you browse for, everything that you send, every file that you transfer, if someone is sweeping that in, you don't see it, you don't know it. But if you're exposed to it, if I show you exactly how vulnerable you are, in a granular way, it's likely to freak you out.
That's Barton Gellman, Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter at The Washington Post and author of Dark Mirror, Edward Snowden and the American Surveillance State. Gellman was one of the reporters Snowden approached back in 2013 in order to leak information. In his book, he recalls the extreme measures of secrecy Snowden required during his disclosures and reveals just how much the government concealed about its surveillance of the public. Gellman's book title comes from the image of an interrogation room where agents can view a suspect, but the suspect only sees a dark mirror.
The techniques of modern electronic intelligence include big data techniques that look for secret hidden patterns in apparently innocent data. And it is ostensibly useful for them to have a complete record, for example, of every telephone call that's made by Americans in America. Who talks to whom, for how long and when, and according to what patterns. That's somewhat more hypothetical than real. The NSA was spying on American calls in that way, and they've given it up because they found that it wasn't very useful. They didn't actually find very much new intelligence about terrorist plots that way. And we're all in that interview room ourselves now because the government is able to look at us with full transparency, but we can't watch them watching us. That's what Dark Mirror is.
As a consequence of Snowden's revelations about U.S. surveillance activities, Congress passed the USA Freedom Act in 2015, which bans bulk collection of Americans' records. He says the government now focuses on overseas communications, but that a lot of private information is still vulnerable.
The other thing that they have not given up, and that has implicated the privacy of Americans on a very large scale, is sweeping up gigantic volumes of communications overseas at the main trunk lines of the internet. So if you imagine standing at the junction of major highways and sort of sweeping in every car that comes through, they justify that as foreign intelligence gathering, and their targets are foreigners. But the way the internet is built these days means that all our American communications are also crossing those foreign transit points. If I send an email to you from New York, it's going to end up in Singapore or Bogota because Google has gigantic data centers there. And so what you have is for every terrorist or foreign intelligence target, they are sweeping in communications of 10 times as many bystanders because of the way they operate the program. And many of those bystanders are Americans.
But some experts on the other side of the debate say surveillance, both government and otherwise, is simply a fact of life in the digital era.
It's a reality. So that is the way we live now. It's simply you look at facial recognition, you look at cameras, you look at everything we do online. We are under surveillance probably more by industry than we are by government. And maybe I'm a little bit less trusting of businesses than I am of the government agencies, because the businesses, there really is no checks and balances on what they do. We've seen that with Facebook. We see that with Google. We see that with any of the social media sites like YouTube. That we don't really have a good view as to kind of what they're doing. So I'm more concerned about that type of surveillance.
That's Dr. Marcus Rogers, professor and executive director of cybersecurity programs at the Purdue Polytechnic Institute at Purdue University.
There isn't any oversight. You look at Facebook. What controls has Congress been able to put on Facebook for all the missteps it's had over the past few years, everything from the 2016 election to leaking of people's accounts? So even Twitter, where some very famous people had their account information taken and basically used for cryptocurrency fraud. Facebook goes, oh, sorry, you know, we shouldn't have done that. Twitter kind of says, oh, yeah, same thing. There is no ramifications. There's no sanctions. They just continue to do business.
The amount of information private businesses collect on consumers is concerning. One visible after effect of the Snowden leaks are the cookie consent banners you now see on websites. By clicking the Accept Cookies button, you give companies permission to collect data about your digital footprint. Gelman says that it's important to realize just how valuable this information is.
Our habits, our affiliations, our connections, our networks are worth billions of dollars in the aggregate. And so, yes, I mean, advertisers want to know it. If you're an insurance company and someone wants to buy car insurance from you, you're very interested in whatever you can discern about their lifestyle. Or if you're selling life insurance, you'd like to know whatever you can surmise about their prior health history. These things can all work against you.
Rogers points out that this consumer data is not only used by American companies, but can be transmitted abroad.
There's been cases where information has been basically sold to what looked like a marketing company that turned out being a front for a foreign government that was using it to spy on people, was using it to collect information. So we don't really have any checks and balances, private businesses in this country. They get to do whatever they like with it. And if you don't like it, the only control we have is, you know, let the market, don't do business with them. If you go back to probably the 50s, 60s, or 70s, no American company would really think of selling our information to Russia, to China, to any of our Cold War frenemies, for lack of a better term. Nowadays, you've got companies, they're working in all these different countries, and they're willing to sell the information to whoever wants to pay for it, no questions asked.
And what do foreign entities do with all of this personal information about us? Rogers argues that much of this data is used to influence politics and the balance of power around the world.
Everything from using it to try to influence elections to creating false personas for agents to be able to sneak into countries to disrupting, in some cases, if those people are actually activists that live outside of the country, for going after them. We saw Turkey and China doing that. There's all kinds of examples where information that's been collected in the United States has gone back to these countries who have used it to go after dissidents and activists.
And yet, because terrorism is a real threat, as a former law enforcement officer and forensic psychologist, Rogers values the intelligence that surveillance does provide. But he also understands that without careful checks and balances, data can put innocent citizens at risk.
It's something that, as we spend more of our time online and there's more data collected about us, it's a real awkward kind of line that intelligence and law enforcement really tries to walk with this.
Gelman wishes he could go back to the days of blissful ignorance when he didn't realize just how vulnerable we are to surveillance.
I'm tired of all the countermeasures that I have to take, and they wear you down. But if you have, for example, a bunch of highly classified files that describe NSA programs, and if you believe, as I do, that many of them should not see the light of day, then you have to take care of them. You have to protect them against hackers or foreign intelligence services. And so you encrypt them on a computer, and you pull the networking hardware out of that computer so that they can't touch the internet. And you carry the encryption key on a different device that never gets stored in the same room, and you put it in a safe, and you keep it in a locked room with a video camera watching it. And you're very careful in other ways about your own use of electronic devices, and there's just no end to it. And the more I found out about surveillance, the more I realized that I have to take new steps to protect myself. And that's why I say it's sort of like falling down a rabbit hole.
While there are steps you can take if you wish to protect your personal and confidential information, it does get complicated quickly. You can read more about this topic in Gelman's book, Dark Mirror, Edward Snowden and the American Surveillance State, available now. And you can also learn more about Dr. Marcus Rogers and all of our guests by visiting our website at viewpointsradio.org. This segment was written and produced by Polly Hansen and Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. Coming up next week.
It was a disaster on so many levels, a meteorological disaster, a political disaster, a response disaster.
The fury of powerful hurricanes. Then.
Every Kickstarter project is like on its own too small for these big businesses to care about. But it ends up that collectively we can make a lot of noise.
The benefits of crowdfunding online. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.